Our first Ask the Mayor in the month of March, and a good morning to you, Mayor Patrick Taylor. So many things locally and internationally going on.
Yes, indeed. Good morning, Steve.
Please donate to the Red Cross, Ukraine. We are in a strange land.
I hope people will be generous and support those brave people of Ukraine. Can you imagine rockets falling on highlands and we have people there being killed and injured and displaced? It's just hard to imagine in 2022 that these kind of things could be happening. I know our hearts and our support go out to the Ukrainians.
I can't imagine bombing their own people. Yeah, going back to our problems with COVID and the business paycheck protection plan, we really did weather the storm and we did get paid. A lot of the businesses were taken care of.
I know that there were real challenges for our businesses. I went on a site and saw where many of our businesses received a lot of support from the paycheck protection plan. Looking at that list of businesses and the support they've got, it was really gratifying to know that a lot of our businesses got that needed support and stimulus during that critical time. And thank goodness we are seeing the numbers on COVID go down now. I checked this morning with the public health report and we had 37 cases in Macon County. That's down from earlier in the year of 600 and something. So that's a good sign, and I hope we'll continue to see those case numbers go down to where we don't have to go back to those difficult measures like masking and social distancing and all those things that we had to address in the past year.
Recalling our public hearing about short-term rentals, what was your reaction to it, all of the speakers? And this has been going on for a while now.
It has been. Some of our speakers at the meeting, like my friend Jerry Moore and David B., they'd been addressing the board all the way back in 2019 about the benefits of short-term rentals in the community. So they were two of the over 30 speakers that spoke at the hearing. I was very gratified to see that we had a hearing that was very contentious with people having different perspectives on what the board should do. We maintain civility and respect for one another, and I just thought it was a very good public hearing where everybody had a chance to speak. We were there for about 2 hours, and then we also had taken written comments, and Gibby Shaheen, our town clerk, did just a wonderful job of organizing this. She took all of the public comments, put them in a package, sent it to the commissioners for their reading and review. Those comments went to our Sunshine List, which is over 100 people that receive all the information that the commissioners receive. And I want to say this, if you want to be on the Sunshine List, I've said this a number of times, simply call our town hall, ask to speak with Gibby, 526-2118. She will take your email address and you'll be on the list. I went to the planning board meeting on Monday, Steve. I don't normally do that, but I went there and asked to speak before they really started their work. I simply took a few minutes to thank them for all the work that they did on this STR issue and the recommendations that they had to address. I want to emphasize that those are volunteer community service people, and we need to understand that they had to make some very difficult decisions, but they had the best interest of our community in doing so.
Now, we have lawyers that'll be talking with each other, and this is not going to be addressed, as you mentioned, at the retreat.
That's more of a budget meeting in process, but we did engage another lawyer. We had Craig Justice, who's an expert in zoning and land use, review our ordinances, along with our town attorney. Craig and Jay Cowart worked together to come up with that initial draft of changes to our UDO related to short-term rentals. We also asked Chad Isick, who is also a land use expert and zoning expert, to review the proposed ordinances and our situation and give his legal opinion. Actually, their colleagues, their friends, both Chad and Craig, they have gone against one another in court, but that's just part of the process. We will be addressing the short-term rental and UDO changes, and that will be after the retreat. And I would anticipate we might even have some special meetings, workshop-type meetings, if you will, to go through and actually start looking at those recommendations that the planning board approved and then come to closure on how we finally address this critical issue.
The town retreat March 10th, the overall town budget. And how about going into the reserves? Are we going to do that, spend some money?
Steve, we do that every year to address some of the critical needs. In the last few years, we've been rather conservative on that, especially because of the COVID pandemic. And right now we have strong reserves. And my recommendation to the board would be that we start spending more of those reserves than we normally do to address some of these problems. We will have a proposed budget ready for public review and final board decision at the June town board meeting.
So much to address. Of course, the big ticket comes from Lamar Nix and the Public Works, that water clarifier, et cetera, et cetera.
Lamar always has an extensive list of things that we need to do. And yes, we have the water clarifier tank. We have the Dog Mountain water tank replacement and water line replacement. Either we will have to eventually pay for those out of reserves, or hopefully we're in the process of applying for grants through the stimulus money that was passed by the federal government. It's going to be kind of a juggling act. How much do we depend on those external funds versus having to actually allocate money from our reserve funds? Every year, we use reserve funds to address the needs of the town.
A lot of things on this list. We'll get to the Feideberg project, but always covering road paving, that's always an issue. Stormwater plan, the sidewalk plan. Where do you want to start?
We've had a vigorous program in the last several years to pave roads. One of the things that we are doing is paving the unpaved roads as a part of our stormwater plan, in that it eliminates a lot of washing of chat and rock and sand and sediment into our lakes and reservoirs. For example, the old Walhalla Road, I anticipate that to move forward for this year. I know there are sections of Oak Street in downtown that were not paved last year, and they need to be resurfaced, just like we did Spring Street last year. We also will be looking at the stormwater plan. Mr. Hain wants us to do a review of that study that was done about a decade ago. We will also be looking at the sidewalk plan, and let me tell you why we need to do that. One of the things that I would like to see us do is to get state funding and assistance for putting sidewalks on our critical corridors going out 64 and 106. One of the challenges that we will have is getting money from the state DOT. They're going through a real struggle now on how to fund the enormous number of projects that need to be funded.
Should we be talking to those in Raleigh?
You can talk to those folks in Raleigh. But it really starts more at the local level in the regional area with our Southwestern Regional Planning Organization. That is really where the identification of priorities originates, and then it moves from there, especially sidewalks.
The fiber project, this is going to help us manage our utilities better. How is that coming along now?
That's always been one of our goals, is to create what we call a smart city grid. At the retreat, Matt Schuler, who heads up our fiber project, will be making a proposal on how we start developing this smart grid.
Talking about parks, yes. Parks and Recreation, and in the Highlander newspaper, it talked about the Board of Education asking for money for preschool, and here comes the Houston House again.
Last year, we engaged Paul Smith, a local architect, to do a conceptual plan for building, if you will, a place where children after school can go. So we will be looking at tearing down the Houston House and putting up a state-of-the-art facility that would be more conducive for these after-school programs. One of the things I think is really critical is that preschool program for Macon County and for the Highland School that they were talking about in the newspaper. I support that fully. I'll be going with a group of folks this coming week to the County Board of Commissioners meeting, advocating that they allocate funding for preschool at the Highland School. But let me just say this, Steve, not just the Highland School. I think this is a critical need throughout Macon County, the state, and nationally. This will really help our working parents.
Mirror Lake, that always seems to be, you know, something that needs to be done, the dredging of Mirror Lake.
We will be having a presentation by Pat Gleason, who is the head of the Mirror Lake Homeowners Association. You know, the town doesn't own Mirror Lake. It's part of our watershed. I hope maybe that the town can become a partner with this initiative. What's really positive to me is that the Homeowners Association, they have a concrete long-term plan to address that siltation problem now. There'll be a presentation, and then, you know, Pat will entertain questions from the commissioners. You're welcome to come in and sit down and listen to the presentations that the staff are making and listen to the discussion between the Board of Commissioners and the staff on these critical budget issues.
So many chances to be informed. Now, I've heard a rumor with Hotwire that the mayor has a private phone list that you call to help them get their service. What's your reaction? I think I heard it say.
Steve, I know that there are a lot of rumors about what the mayor can and cannot do. Let me say this. There is no list. There is no phone number. I am not controlling Hotwire Communications. I did give a phone number of a top official in Hotwire who is overseeing the construction of the underground portion of this network. I have given the representatives of those homeowners association that number to let them start a dialogue with Hotwire about how to proceed. So that's what I've done, and I will be happy if anybody who represents a neighborhood that has underground utilities, if you haven't contacted or been contacted by Hotwire at this time, I'll be happy to put you in contact with it. In addition to that, they've been going out and looking at the underground portion. They had about 7 people here this week. They also are looking at office space. They're about to come to closure on that. And they will then be marketing to the public and our local media. That is a private company, and they will move without delay to get up and running.
We have a small town school, the Highlanders, and in the third round, let's talk sports.
Yes.
The third round of the playoffs and the Lady Highlanders, they fell to Mountain Heritage 42-27 a few days ago.
Yeah.
But going to the third round, that's amazing.
That's wonderful, and, you know, I want to congratulate the girls basketball team for having a wonderful season. The Highland School plays in the lowest classification in the state. I think they play in A. We have such a small school. We have 100 students in high school, but a lot of the A schools have several hundred students. So we're kind of the little engine that can, because we have a limited number of athletes from that pool of 100 versus if you have 200 or 300 or 400 students. So it's always a challenge for us to be competitive in that classification, but some way we find a way to be very successful.
One day we'll have a Hoosier story ending where a small little school beats the big school.
We've come close before.
We certainly had. And getting to track, you ran with the Atlanta Club despite some problems with your ribs.
Yes. It's a cautionary tale for all of us who are in our 70s. Last Wednesday, I have a little boat that I was working on using a pulley system in my garage, and I had to get up on an 8-foot step ladder and do all that work and adjustment. Took me about 2 or 3 hours. Now everybody's thinking, oh,
you
the mayor fell, but I didn't. I was very careful. I did a great job of making sure that the ladder was set and everything. I put it up about 5 o'clock. I went into my house and I looked at the kitchen clock, and the battery was dead and the clock had stopped. So I just took our little kitchen step ladder and I just leaned it up against the counter, the granite countertop, said, I don't have to extend this. I'm just going to step up here and change this battery in a flash. As soon as I started to, as I stepped up and got on the ladder, it kicked out from under me and I came crashing down with my ribs on the counter and then hit the floor. Kind of stunned, got up, said, I think I'm going to be okay. Next morning, at my ribs, I was really stiff. But I even got out and did a practice run because I was going to have to run on Saturday. And I said, I feel pretty good. Then on Friday, I feel better. But then I had to run on Saturday in Atlanta in 38-degree temperature. I never did get over it, but I had a good run. I didn't break any record or anything, but just being there participating was a good experience. So my cautionary tale is this. It's not the big things that will will get you. It's those little things that you don't think about, like not opening the stepladder and just leaning it up against the counter and you'll be okay. Those are the things that surprise you. So I'm doing fine. I'm on the mend and I'm glad to be here.